The following is a Feltnout production. To find out more, visit feltnout.co.uk.
Right, I've started the episode and you know why.
Right, hello. I thought that was a good question. I thought it was philosophical.
We might get to the question, but I think we're going to lose a lot of people if we don't do the intro first.
Yes.
Because I don't like that question.
Hello, guys. It's all Vienna.
It's all Vienna. What is that, though? Who are you?
Oh, I'm Kia Kyle.
I'm Lee Kyle. Same surname, different day.
Whoa. Same woman in our lives in
that
different ways.
Weird.
Different ways.
Sounds
different
weird.
Ways.
My mum. No, my mum is his mother.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. She's dead and all that.
My mum is dead, but thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, you made a fucking hour-long show out of it. You can't be that bothered anymore.
I didn't just go, hey, everyone, mum's dead.
You pretty much did, man. It was
made a lovely work of art out of that. It's a show about death and autism. A lot of fun.
My life, well, yeah. Autism at the minute, death eventually.
But we all die eventually. Yeah. Just remember that, everyone. While you're listening to your fun little podcast, that's not just about pop music.
It might be right round the door. Who's that at your door? It's death.
We could be dead as you hear this.
We could. It's so kicking off in Ukraine at the minute, isn't it? So, I mean, it has been for a while, but it's more kicking off now after the news last night. So it's all.
Wait, this wasn't last night as this goes out. They might
well,
not,
no,
who
but
knows
for
what's
us
happened
it
now.
Was last night. But yeah, anyway.
There's always terrible.
We might be dead before this comes out.
There's always terrible news around the. You might be dead as well.
No, I hope you're not. If you're a Patreon subscriber. If not, subscribe to the Patreon, then I'll.
Patreon.com/Feltnout. It gives you a longer life. Medically and scientifically proven to live longer.
I think we could find a way to market that and actually give them a longer life.
That's not bad, is it?
Laughter's the best medicine.
Yeah, we'll say this. If you're a £10 Patreon on there, when we find the cure for death, it's yours.
Yeah. For every £1 you donate, it adds 3 days onto your life. That's how tabs work, isn't it?
Yeah, we also say don't smoke and then give us a quid.
Yeah, use your tab money to buy us nice trinkets.
I'd love a trinket.
I would like a trinket. Oh, no one buys trinkets anymore.
I don't. It's hard, isn't it? Because why won't the letters look pretty?
Why look bonny according to the last episode? Well, not according to the last episode, according to the general public.
So this is a podcast where we talk about songs that got a number 2 in the UK charts and peaked at number 2, by the way, and decide whether they should have got a number 1 by comparing them to the song that did get a number 1. And then between us, we decide which of them should have. And if both of us decide that the song that got number 2 should have got number 1, then it is officially a chart top and smash.
I love that we've got that power.
I love power, mate.
Oh, I do like power.
And I tell you what, it is a fucking big one this week.
Oh,
it is a big one.
It is.
We'll get into this in a moment. It's God Only Knows by the Beach Boys against Eleanor Rigby by the Beatles. Now,
fucking
it is technically
hell.
Eleanor Rigby slash Yellow Submarine, but I don't think people really count Yellow Submarine.
Fuck Yellow Submarine.
So we're going Rigby.
I love the
versus
Beatles.
Knows.
I hate Yellow Submarine.
Yeah. It is the thing that it is, right? I think the thing about Paul McCartney is he liked to write every sort of song.
Yeah.
And I think it is nice that there was songs that were sort of for kids there. Because you would hear these songs sometimes at school when I was a kid, and then later on people would go, you know, the Beatles wrote Octopus's Garden. You're like, but the Carnival, it's just one of those songs that's always been there for kids. Which I think is quite sweet. But we're not talking Yellow Submarine unless we can't decide. But we'll just decide.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
What we do.
It's for jobs. Not jobs. I'm not paid.
So now,
I'm paid in your happiness.
So he's fucking starving. So, Kia, the question you asked before. We were talking about drinks, about I think the inevitable next big drink is a comeback for brandy. Because people like those big glasses and swishing them around in their hands. And then out of nowhere, you asked what you thought was an interrelated question.
I think it's quite interesting.
About texture of drinks and just ask it.
I just want to know.
Sorry, everybody, about this.
I just want to know, is spunk a plasma? Because, like, it's a liquid, but it's
right
a bit viscous, isn't it? It's a bit.
I mean, I think what we immediately have to go is, what constitutes a plasma?
Well, I think that's what we're going to have to fucking Google.
Are we going to have
mate?
To Google this?
Do you think anyone's
like,
Googled?
We're talking about the Beatles and the Beach Boys, Kia, two of the greats. We might have people, like classic rock fans tuning in and that, and we're talking, is spunk a plasma?
Is sperm
that's
plasma?
That's fine for a thing about S Club 7 or something, isn't it? But we can't.
Our semen consists of sperm. Spermatozoa.
Yeah,
there we go. Suspended in a fluid medium called seminal plasma.
Yeah. Whoa!
So, you know what? I think that means sperm
but
is a plasma.
That's the thing I was going to bring up. Like, to me, there's two different consistency in your old cockspit.
So, it depends how recently you had your end off, doesn't it? So,
clearly the spermatozoa is not a plasma, but the spermal plasma, we have to go, is a plasma. So, we're doing science here, everybody.
Yeah, no, if they taught us this in biology or, like, whatever one plasma's in, I would have been so much more interested.
The thing is, you wouldn't have, because you'd have been in school, it would have just been, like, boring. One of them, like, today we're going to talk about sperm as a plasma. You're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, no, I would have loved it. I would have went home and experimented on myself in a much more educationally friendly way than I normally do.
I failed so badly as a parent.
Look, is spermoplasma is quite an interesting philosophical question,
I think. It's not philosophical. Well, yeah,
it's not a fucking gas, is it? That.
By my age. So who here likes pop music? Oh, I just feel sad about this.
Why? I thought it was quite good. I thought it was interesting.
I don't feel sad about the topic. I feel sad that you feel comfortable in asking me that question.
Guys, please, hit what up? What's your favourite consistency of sperm?
What's your... No. Don't hit me up. In fact, we don't have an email address purposely in case you hit us up. Get in touch if you want. info@feltnow.co.uk. Any questions, any songs you might want, actually. Any consistencies of sperm choice. Whatever. I'm past fucking caring.
I care about you.
Yeah, I'm trying to do a sensible talk about pop music, and he just comes in with his fucking Spunk Theorem.
I think
was a Linkin Park album. So everyone, do sign up at feltnow.co.uk. It's not just this podcast, it's a million other things. Support the future and the history, I don't know, of comedy in the northeast of England. We've got some big news coming soon, which might already be out by now. Do keep up to date. It's going to be fucking skill. Anything from £3 to £50.
People don't say skill anymore, don't they?
No, skill needs to make a comeback. I was thinking the other day how well Cool has done.
Cool has done well, hasn't
it? It's still in use, isn't it? Like, yeah. It's outlived like so many things. Like, it's outlived, like, what did people say in the 60s? Groovy. No one's saying groovy now. No one's saying rad.
Yeah, if you say groovy, you come across a bit creepy, don't you?
No one's saying nang, are they?
Nah.
But Cool's still there. 50-odd years, 50, 60 years of Cool. In fact, Birth of the Cool was Miles Davis' album. That was in the fucking 50s. And it's still not, it doesn't even seem ironic if you call something Cool now, does it?
I don't even know if people say mint anymore. I know I do, but thinking about it, I can't remember the last time I heard anyone else say mint.
Nah, not without a bit of like irony to it, or local, like I think it might be local to the northeast, maybe a bit, a few other places, but people aren't just saying it, are they?
Oh God, am I out of date by saying mint? Am I saying that? And people are like, what the fuck?
Yeah. People will still know mint, I think.
People will know it, but like, point. I don't think I've heard anyone say it.
It's going to get to the point where it's a bit like saying, oh, mate, that is rad.
Oh, you know? Rad was good. I don't mind rad.
So, you know, think on everybody. let's hear a burst of these two songs, and then we'll come back and definitely make the wrong decision on this one.
Probably.
Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care?
Care!
Hello, mate.
The Beatles.
What about them?
Have you heard of them?
I've got a t-shirt.
What?
Yeah, don't want to brag.
But have you heard of the Beatles? I've got loads of t-shirts.
No, but mate. Me t-shirt says The Beatles.
What?
Yeah, so you know you're fucking... Now you're
it's
looking.
Hard, isn't it, to know new things to say about The Beatles?
Yeah, I feel like it's all been said
Not
before.
Not much can have been discussed about The Beatles, so let's try to have a new perspective. God, they were shit.
Oh, fucking McCartney. More like McChartney.
Nah, it's more like McCartney.
Yeah, there we go. Yours was better. I panicked.
Well,
panicked.
It's fine. You patented David Cassidy-style panic.
I still think about Spunk. I don't know what happened.
So, Eleanor Rigby, right? it's fascinating, I think, in that, for a number of reasons. Like, it's fascinating that none of the Beatles play on it, other than McCartney singing, obviously.
Yeah.
It's orchestral in it. It's got to be a contender for one of the most depressing songs ever written.
It really is miserable, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't think that makes it bad, but it certainly is. Like, nobody ever thinks of it in that way, I think, because it's the Beatles, but the fact is, this is 1966. This isn't long after, those fabulous Beatle boys, the Mop Tops, the lovable Beatles singing I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Yeah.
And now he's writing this as a man in his mid-20s. That's fucking mental when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like,
but... The thing with the Beatles is, I feel like they had knowledge beyond the years just because of how many drugs they've fucking done. I think that helped them a bit.
I think helped them might be the wrong phrase.
I'd say helped them.
I don't think this is a drugs thing, though. I think they were on drugs, don't get us wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this sort of time was kind of maybe that peak of creativity, but... I feel like the drugs were more John at this point. Not that they weren't all taking them, but in terms of the psychedelic stuff.
Is he the one that was going mental with it?
They were all... Well, John is widely regarded to a lot of Beatles fans, big Beatles fans, as kind of finished by 67. Like, he did loads of good stuff after that, but in terms of his actual fucking peak, he'd taken so much, his brain was a bit fried till the day he dies. He wasn't the same person.
Yeah.
You know, you have all that... Like, famously... I think it was, and I'm not a big Beatlesologist, but the making of, I think not long before the White Album, he sat everybody down and told them that he was Jesus. Like, he was gone, you know?
Oh, God, yeah. So I think, his brain's mush by this point.
So you look at the songs he made in, like, 66 and 67, though, incredible stuff. And then by the White Album, he contributed a few things, but it wasn't the same. Nobody's saying, like, as Happiness is a Warm Gun is as good as Strawberry Fields Forever. You know what I mean?
I always forget the White Album's a Beatles thing. So I think of the Beatles, I think of Sgt. Pepper's and Revolver and Abbey Road and that. But White Album, I always forget about.
I see, that's the one I listen to the most. About. I think that's the one I listen to the most.
Is that your favourite one?
Yes, but I don't think it's the best one. I think it's a bit of an ADHD thing.
What do you think is the best one?
Oh, God, it might be the White Album, actually, but just because of my preferences. I think because of Chuck, sometimes people go, oh, it's a double album. What if they just got rid of it and made an 11-track album? Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah.
But I think what I like about it is that they've chucked everything at it and not everything works. And it's a bit, I like the ADHD thing about it. They've just got, some of the songs are just very short. Some of them are different. And I quite like that, you know.
I think Sgt. Pepper's is the best.
I don't like Sgt. Pepper.
I fucking love Sgt. Pepper's. But I think my favourite to listen to is Revolver because it's more fun.
See, I think Sgt. Pepper is fun. And there's some great stuff in it, but I think, like, it's a bit twee, isn't it? Ooh, oh, this album, it's a circus.
I like it.
But there's some... But they also didn't stick to it. If you're going to do a concept album, go with it. But clearly, at some point, they just go, let's just put some good songs on. You know what I mean? It almost seems like, I'm glad the good songs are on, but it seems like, well, you haven't really gone for this as much as you could have done, you know? So, yeah, it's not me... I'd say the White Album is my favourite, and I think in some ways it's the best, but I don't think it has the best songs on, necessarily, if that makes sense. Which is probably Abbey Road, to be fair.
Yeah, but it's not as
exciting to me because it starts to go too much into classic rock, which isn't really my... The White Album starts at that, to be honest, but it's not really my area.
I don't really care about early Beatles. You know, your Twist and Shout covers. Oh, and all that
I disagree. I think I don't until I hear them, and then I'm like, this is...
Not like I enjoy them, but fuck me, if I was choosing one of the albums... to listen to, I'd very rarely choose the earlier stuff.
Yeah, it's very much singles, isn't it? Like, I've got Please Please Me, the album, which I found in a charity shop for £4, and it's like an original copy, and I'm not a big vinyl finding guy, but I was like, well, I'll buy that. But how often do you put it on? But if you hear I Want to Hold Your Hand, or actually Twist, like the version of Twist and Shout, it's fucking great.
It is
good. It's very exciting. You can see why people are like, well, this is the best. You know, like, when you listen to everything else at the time, it must have been, like, you were getting kicked in the head by this.
It is fucking mental, like, just the influence that the Beatles have had on music.
It's stupid, isn't it? Ridiculous. I once heard, and this is, I think it was Paul Morley, and I'm sorry if it wasn't, but I think it was Paul Morley, the music critic, and this is the most mental thing I've ever heard. And you know, sometimes you go with music critics, and I do like music criticism as a genre, I do enjoy it, but sometimes you go, you're just saying things to say things. I saw a documentary he was on, and he said, the thing about the Beatles is they didn't really influence anybody. And I go, you're just saying stuff.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You're just saying stuff there.
Yeah.
Like, He didn't justify it. He didn't go, what I mean by that. He just left that and you go, what?
Like, metal wouldn't be a thing without the Beatles, because obviously they did Helter Skelter and stuff. Fucking Alice Cooper started off in a Beatles tribute band called the Earwigs. Then he influenced pretty much every metal band there is today. Like, it's fucking... That's like a whole massive genre that just wouldn't be around. You've got all of, like, modern pop music. It'd be so fucking different if the Beatles hadn't...
You listen to stuff like Tomorrow Never Knows, and it sounds like the Chemical Brothers 30 years before it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's fucking insane.
It's such a strange... And I'm not writing it off. I'd like to see a thing where he justified what he meant, because maybe he's got an interesting point that I'm not getting.
He won't have
But it just felt like you're just saying
every
that.
Every band was influenced by the Beatles at this point. Like, it's just saying
that.
Mental.
It's a mad thing to say, isn't it? But what is also strange is this is, we're talking like 3 or 4 years after they first started having massive pop hits with stuff about, you know, just dating girls and stuff. And then already this man's writing Eleanor Rigby, which is about a woman... Not only a woman having a funeral that nobody came to, but that the priest thinks he's absolutely wasting his time and his job because he's not saving anybody and nobody's listening anyway.
Yeah.
And not only that, but then musing about all of the other lonely people in the world. This is fucking heavy shit, isn't it?
Well, I couldn't be writing that shit in my current mid-20s.
Nah, and especially for it to be Paul McCartney, who is a famously, like, you know, he has his things, like all of us, but he's a famously quite happy man who sort of appreciates his talent. Paul McCartney. If this was John Lennon, you'd go, he was a miserable
fucker. Maybe that was all his built-up misery that he's sort of, you know, been hiding in a corner all these years. He was like, ah, fuck, let's do something with this.
Yeah, fucking sick. I can't just be fucking smiley, thumbs-up, mop-top all the time. Now, of course, Eleanor Rigby wasn't the original title of it. They had a different name. And this is a name that's scanned, and they like the sound of it. But there is a famous story, and it's true, which is they didn't know this apparently, but there is a grave in Liverpool with a woman's name called Eleanor Rigby on it that they think they haven't ever seen.
Yeah, I remember you.
But also,
remember that being a thing.
They have went, but we did sort of go to that graveyard, so maybe we'll see it without.
Yeah,
that's just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I suppose that's. Would probably make that grave one of the most visited graves in Liverpool. And it's a woman who died before the Beatles, who had no idea what the Beatles are.
We're very different from the Beatles in that sense, because we always look at the names in graveyards because we like to find interesting ones.
Yeah, but then you don't see them all. Like, if it's a big municipal graveyard, there's thousands, isn't there? But, and that, apparently, I think it's somewhere in the middle as well, so it's not like it was...
It's not like on the outskirts, where you might be walking around. Yeah.
But it doesn't mean they won't have seen it. But it's sort of, it's a very fascinating story, and one of the 3 or 4 stories Paul McCartney always tells, because he doesn't, for someone with this much experience, he goes in interview mode, you know, but it is a great story, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Paul McCartney's favourite pop song is God Only Knows by the Beach Boys, which is at number 2. So I wonder what he would think, whether he'd, if he was here, and I'm sorry everyone, we nearly got Macar as a guest, but he was too busy eating a veggie sausage, so he couldn't do it. I wonder whether he would go, yeah, I'd rather God Only Knows got number 1.
Yeah, I wonder how proud he is of his own work in comparison to his favourite song. I'd want the number 1 out of spite, but I'm just not as nice as McCartney, obviously.
Now, what I'm wondering about, you said to me this, and we always have this discussion, and I try to go in undecided, but it's not always easy. And don't give me the answer, but you've already said you know which one of these songs you prefer.
I'm pretty certain I am.
But I'm going to try not to work that out.
Yeah.
Try not to. So tell me about what you think about God Only Knows by the Beach Boys. Like, people are saying it's Rolling Stone called it the 11th greatest pop song ever. Now, I don't like Rolling Stone's magazine, but you've got to give that some sort of weight. It's one of those songs which I sometimes have a problem with, where it's clearly it's influenced by a lot of classical music, Bach and stuff like that, which is great.
Yeah.
I don't mind that, but I don't like the idea, and I don't think the Beach Boys think this.
Eleanor Rigby's very orchestral,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I don't like that sort of pop music, like Procol Harum, White Shade of Pale and stuff, where it's almost like people go, act like it's better than pop music because it's a bit classical.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think classical music is better than pop music. But this is clearly, like, it's a different sort of song. And again, we talked about Eleanor Rigby being a step up. This is not long since Beach Boys were doing all that, oh, we're having a surf all the time, which was there. It's mad now that was a big worldwide type of music, surf rock, where people were just saying about surfing for
just
a couple of years.
It.
And that was that and people from Liverpool were the main sorts of pop music for a bit.
I realised when I was in LA walking along like Venice Beach in Santa Monica, there was no shells on the beach, and I think that's because surfers have used them all for necklaces, so I think it's just fucking...
Well, if you play, that's probably died out there. People probably weren't playing the Beach Boys and that there, were they?
Nah, none
of rap.
Yeah, not a rap. Rap, yeah. And there was a guy standing on top of his van he's turned into a house just playing electric guitar, which is, you know what? Yeah. If you're going to stand on top of a van and play guitar anyway, make it on from Santa Monica. Well, that's also a very LA thing.
Also do Surfing USA or California Girls or something, you know what I mean? Just a bit.
Oh, no. There was a lot of, like, 80s glamour heard. There was someone who...
That seems a shame. I don't mind it being replaced by fucking... by rap, because that feels, like, legit. I don't want it being replaced by Van Halen. Van Halen shouldn't be replacing the Beach Boys.
Well, when you're that close to the Sunset Strip, mate.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose. It just seems like a bit of a... But then, the last thing you want is California to live in a permanent 60s, like, sort of, you know, Manchester has constantly the 90s now, and it seems a bit depressing to go there. Because Manchester always had a lot of big bands and stuff, big singers and stuff, or interesting ones, and then they were all... But until... the 90s came out, they were always about moving forward and, like, a bit of misery and that. Obviously, yeah. It's Manchester and it's rainy, but then suddenly it's like we're trapped in 95 now, and it seems a pity.
Yeah.
So what do you think about God Only Knows?
It's a hard song to knock, because I feel like it does just... it's one of those things that anyone can sort of just have on in the background and not really complain. You know, it's so easy to enjoy.
Ah, but that's interesting as well, though, isn't it? Because it's not... again, it's quite a heavy song.
Oh, it is.
It's about... but I mean, heavy into... it's obviously a very light song. It's breezy.
It's still got that Beach Boys happiness behind it, doesn't it? Like
but people wonder what it's about. So there's a few suggestions. Like, obviously it's about a relationship. Somebody... even starting with, "I May Not Always Love You" is an amazing start to a love song, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, look, for now, this is great, but I can't make any promises, which is fucking...
it's a nice realistic way
it's
of...
it's probably one of the great
it?
Lines in pop music, I would say. Like, because it's not going, "I will always love you," which is what pop songs say, isn't it, on the whole?
Including that famous pop song?
Yeah. But it's not saying that, it's sort of saying... but there's... it was also controversial at the time because it mentions God in it, and in America at the time, there was a lot of songs... not allowed to get released because it would mention God or hell or anything like that. That's a risky thing we've done at the time. And God Only Knows also sounds a bit like it's a very mild swear word, isn't it? Like, God Only Knows, you know, which wouldn't have been allowed. So the schools have thought that it's a quasi-religious song because there were religious people, that it's legitimately talking to God, you know? But and then if it is, to say, "I may not always love you" to God, that's, again, that makes that even more crazy as a line, especially at the time. But also... there's a lot of people think it's a bit about suicide as well.
Really?
Well, "I may not always love you as long as there are the stars above you." And then it goes, "What good would living do me?" So it's
Yeah, fair enough.
These are not only two fucking beautifully crafted songs and such.
They are fucking both
they're not,
brilliant.
They're dark as fuck, aren't they? Yeah. When you think about it, for two bands who were known at the time for their sort of jollity and fun. And of course, Brian Wilson out of the Beach Boys had massive breakdowns in his life.
Yeah.
He was not mentally a well man. It's not like he's not had suicidal ideation, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and it's mad that the Beach Boys, before this, would have been thought of as the sunniest possible thing. And they've had really hard things through their life. Like, Mike Love, who I think owns the Beach Boys' name now, gets all the money from it, I think, and doesn't...
yeah.
And the rest of the Beach Boys hate him because he's the business one and they were the...
yeah.
You know? And I just think it's... before this, you would not have guessed these songs from either of these two bands.
To be honest, they came out around the same time as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I think they both felt very competitive with each other.
Yeah.
Like, I know they were both a bit freaked out by Sgt. Pepper and Pet Sounds coming out from each other because they were sort of like fans of each other, but going, "Oh my God, they're going to leave us behind."
Yeah, they are both, you know, incredibly well, like, renowned albums and stuff, aren't they?
But it also, I wonder if they would have... whether they both regretted their names. Like, it's too late now because they're the Beatles and the Beach Boys. But
yeah,
they're both terrible
very
names.
Good names, are they?
They're both like, the Beach Boys, I get that.
When that works for the whole surfing thing.
When it looked like they were just going to be a pop band having a couple of singles.
Yeah,
doing
but
about
now, like, when you get to the, you know, when you get later on this sort of time, it's like, oh, fuck.
The Beach Boys?
Yeah.
And the Beatles is worse because you don't even realise it's a pun now.
Yeah,
it's
shit
the Beatles.
Pun. It's a fucking shit
There's
pun.
No way they like that. And when they were called the Silver Beatles before that, that's a much better name.
Yeah.
If they'd went that and that without the pun, it was just Beatles like Beatles, I'd take that.
That's all right, yeah.
But the Beatles, because they did beat music. Both of these
shit,
are named after
it's
a short-term...
so shit.
They're both named after, really, or because of a short-term sort of music they made that was popular in 62. Like, because how long were the Beatles doing beat stuff? Like, a couple, two or three albums?
Yeah.
And then they're like... And they're still calling people go, oh man, the Beatles and the Beach Boys. You go, the Beat. Imagine you were an alien coming down and go, who are your best bands? You go, I don't want to tell you.
I wonder what the Beatles would have chosen as a name during the later years. Because I feel like it would have been something weird.
I think they would have fallen out about it. Because I think McCartney would have insisted on being called the Paul McCartney Band. Because I think he was a nice bloke, but he was a big fan of himself. And yeah. He was a control freak, you know.
Yeah.
I think he would have wanted... they might have went with Lennon and McCartney, and George and Ringo would have just had... And George would have been furious, and Ringo wouldn't have given a fuck.
Yeah, he just wouldn't have cared.
I think he felt lucky to be like, this is madness, I'm the drummer of the Beatles. But what do you think?
I don't know, I feel like John would have wanted something fucking weird. Like, really, like, stand out and just strange.
I wonder if they...
But I don't think I can think the same way as John Lennon. I'm not even going to pretend that I can for a second.
I wonder if they'd have went with one of the names they ended up using for an album. But I wouldn't have liked them to be called, like, Revolver.
Yeah.
It's not for good, is it?
Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
They might have, you know. They might have. They'd waited till then. And that would be worse.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
Fuck yeah. So let's have a look down the chart, see what we've got. I'll just do highlights or ones that we would definitely know. We've got the Troggs with A Girl Like You. Not Wild Thing, because it would be nice to do a top three and decide.
Oh, that would have been good.
Cliff Richard's in there with Visions. This was, I think, I don't know this song especially, but I think it's the sort of, the start, near the start of Cliff becoming a bit religious. Like, yeah. He was always religious, but starting to go, hey, I'm going to talk about that in my music and make films about God. And people sort of wrote him off for a few years till his record company went, Cliff, you're going to have a fucking hit. You know what I mean?
Skillet of his day.
Yeah. We've got They Come to Take Me Away, Haha, by Napoleon the 14th. Do you know that one?
I do. Don't
like
it.
It's like a novelty hit.
Don't like it.
But I do like when you get a novelty hit in the charts, but probably not a number one. Small Faces, All or Nothing, and I'm Not Having It with Mods. Oh, this is a cracker. In at number 12, Summer in the City by The Lovin' Spoonful.
I don't.
You do it. Summer in the City.
Oh, fuck yeah. Of course, it was great song.
It's a fucking great song.
Fucking great song.
Can't argue with that. Mamas and the Papas with I Saw You Again. In at number 13, of course, one of the Mamas and the Papas. We have to say this more than we have to. A horrific sex criminal.
Child sex criminal.
But one of them ones where that doesn't seem to have stopped the music being played. You know what I mean? You're still going to hear California Dreamin', aren't you?
Yeah. It's a fucking good song.
Yeah,
it's a fucking good song.
Ken Dodd with More Than Love. Ken Dodd, of course, the famous comedian who I recently heard an anecdote about. So he died not that long ago.
Yeah.
And he was playing theatres till near the end. And he would do really long shows. Like 4-hour shows.
Fucking hell.
He would just keep them in and get the doors locked and just keep Ken Dodd at them with just jokes and songs and everything for ages. And the last time he did a tour, apparently, one of the theatres complained to him afterwards. He went, well, make sure you never play this theatre again. He went, oh, I don't care. I'm nearly 90. Like, you can get, if I get banned from every theatre I go to now, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you missed your time at that point, didn't you?
I'm Ken Dodd. Like, I've got a statue of as a Liverpool.
I respect that.
But he never had a hit. He would do ballads. He never had a hit with a funny song, although he did record some. Roy Orbison's at 17. Bob Dylan's at 18. And Presley's at 19. Lightly,
fucking big names.
Then Petula Clark and Dusty Springfield. Distant Drums by Jim Reeves, who I know Jim Reeves best of.
A lot of fucking big names in this.
I know
this
Jim Reeves best by being the man who, every time you go into a charity shop and look for a record, there's going to be a Jim Reeves in
all
there.
All the time, innit?
Which is sort of sad for him.
And Shawaddy Waddy. Yeah, a lot of Shawaddy Waddy.
Fans are dying off. Ain't Too Proud to Beg by The Temptations. Great, we're getting some soul now into the charts. And The Four Tops, Loving You is Sweeter Than Ever. This is a fucking good chart.
Yeah, there's some great names here.
Strangers in the Night, Exchanging Glances by the Chairman of the Board, Mr. Frank Sinatra Sr. Which, I did a bad job there, right? I can't sing.
I don't think you did a bad
job. That's the thing. I think, I can see why people, when they do karaoke, do songs like that, because it's the one you can come closest to getting away with.
Yeah.
You know, like, Frank Sinatra did it better. I'm not denying that.
Yeah,
but like, you can sort of get away just about by going doobie doobie doobie.
Yeah, it's never going to sound shit, is it?
Working in the Coal Mine by Lee Dorsey, which I've never heard, but fucking want to hear.
I like them, yeah. I'm interested by that.
Oh, and fuck me. Another claim for being one of the greats. Again, not my taste. I don't love it, but Sunny Afternoon by The Kinks in at number 31.
I like The Kinks, you know.
I don't like The Kinks. Not especially. I think they're
bloody good at Christmas songs. And by that, I mean that one.
But that was a weird one as well, because that was much later, and it sounds a bit new
wave. Yeah, it was.
A bit new wave and punky, didn't it? It's a bit strange. The Kinks, my problem with The Kinks are, my former flatmate Louis used to love the Kinks. And I like Louis, but by the time he really got into them and his girlfriend at the time gave him a box set of all their singles, we'd sort of fallen out for a few months.
Yeah, then you just had to listen to the Kinks all the time. Yeah,
and it just
time.
Made me just annoyed by them. And also that one of those bands, like Blur, who I think have loads of great stuff, but do occasionally get into the, ooh, look at all the silly people living their useless lives.
I do think the Kinks 70s stuff is fucking great. I think it's underrated. They've got a song, is it something about Superman? I don't remember what. Wish I Could Fly Like Superman by the Kinks. Fucking good song, mate.
But I just and can't love
came
them.
Out in, when did this come out? 79. Yeah. So
Louis used to refer to Dave Davies, by the way, in terms of brothers who hate each other, like Davies brothers, fucking like, it's way more legit than the Gallagher one, you know.
Yeah.
But, he once referred to Dave Davies as one of his top three smokers. People who are the best at smoking was him, great. Jake the Snake Roberts and Nicolas Cage, if you're interested.
All good names.
Yeah. We've got Percy Sledge in here, more wonderful stuff. And then, Jesus Christ, there's some bangers in this, mate. We've got River Deep Mountain High by Ike and Tina Turner.
Nice.
You Don't Have to Tell Me by the Walker Brothers. Oh, here's Stevie Wonder with Blowing in the Wind. And, all right. As number 41 in the charts, we're talking fucking classic soul here. A big hit. And we talk about this on the Patreon every time. We talk about the song that got number 41 in the charts.
You're missing out if you're not part of the Patreon.
You're missing out. Join us at patreon.com/feltnow to not miss out and also gain a longer life. And we'll be talking about Percy Sledge with When a Man Loves a Woman.
Oh, fucking hell. All right.
This is a fucking...
This will be nice.
It's a cliche to say a chart's good in 1966 because they always are. Like, I just fucking passed over Stevie Wonder as if it was now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, Hanky Panky by Tommy James and the Shondells. And I thought, oh, I'm well into this. And we've only just missed out by Otis Redding's I Can't Turn You Loose. But we're not listening to that. We're listening to Percy Sledge.
Come on, then.
But first...
Sledge is up, Percy.
First, and I'm interested... I'm genuinely torn on this one as it goes into the thing, and I know you're not. So we're going to go into the decision. We're going to say Beatles or Beach Boys.
Shit, yeah, I haven't even decided.
And remember, everybody, that if... Both of us have to say the Beach Boys for that to become the number one. That is just how it is. Yeah. The status quo remains if we say different answers, or obviously if we both say the Beatles. So, I don't know what I'm going to say. But there doesn't feel like a wrong answer on this one.
Yeah, I think either are perfectly valid.
So, on three. One, two, three. Beach Boys! Well, there you go!
There we go.
What made you decide that? Because I know you decided quite early.
Obviously, the Beach Boys song is fucking great. Like, God Only Knows is a fantastic tune. But Eleanor Rigby is so fucking... Like, there's nothing else that's really like it. Especially for the time. Like, it's so...
There's not a song that sounds like it, is it? Which is sort of the case for God Only Knows.
Incredible.
But there's the absolute fucking grimness of Eleanor Rigby. It's like... Morrissey in the 80s would listen to that and went, bit much, lads.
Yeah.
For just the perkiest pop band in the world.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
So, while we disagreed... decision has been made, so still number one, because Kia thinks that Yellow Submarine is better than God Only Knows, is the
fuck
Beatles.
Off.
See you on Patreon, everybody. Fuck off.
Fuck off.
The following is a Feltnout production. To find out more, visit feltnout.co.uk.